All right. Oops, I forgot. There we go. I'm back. All right. Good morning, everyone. So this morning, I wanted to continue in Luke chapter 3. And on Thursday, we read a section in Luke chapter 3. On Thursday, read verses 7 to 9. So I'd like to continue in Luke chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 10 to verse 19. So John has just rebuked people coming there who were not looking to change their lives or change their hearts, but were only coming thinking that, if I get baptized, then I'll escape God's wrath. And so verse 10 switches to the people that were actually responding to what John had just said. And in verse 10, they respond with, "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. And John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Verse 12, even the tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they said, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "What should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod, the tetrarch, of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. So, verse 10 here, we start off, it's talking about the same crowd that we looked at, who he's addressing. And these are actually, as I said, these are the people that are actually willing to change their lives in response to John's message. You have the general crowd, and then you have specific people, groups represented. You have tax collectors, and you specifically have soldiers. And it points out, John's addressing specific things that were going on in society. You had the tax collectors that were hated by everybody, in verse 12. And very clearly, with John's response in verse 13, he says, "Don't collect any more than you're required to." Here's the tax from Rome, but I'm gonna say that you have to pay like a little bit above that, so I can take that little bit more for myself. If you remember the story of Zacchaeus, who was a chief among the tax collectors, you look at how much he responded to Jesus and how much he was willing to give back. It kind of in parallel shows just how much money he had incorrectly taken from the people. But in the crowd in general, going back to verse 12, he says, "If anyone has two shirts, share with them who has none, and anyone who has food, should do the same." And speaking to the general culture of the time, and even just, I think even today, even at back then, they kind of looked down on those that couldn't provide even just the basic necessities for themselves, whether it was clothes or food, whatever the reason was. And, during this time of isolation, I was reading this passage and I was thinking, like, well, how can I how can I still do, you know, these basic things? And because, you know, I'm not a tax collector and I'm not a soldier, but, you know, the general crowd's response, how can I share, like, you know, the clothes that I clearly don't wear? How can I share the food that I have, you know, with others? And, you know, there's a lot of different, like, small donation bins around the village here in Scottsville that are, like, donating to different causes that give to different groups that have need of clothes or have need of supplies. And, you know, something that Dorothy and I have committed to, I think it's all coming up on the year now, was, you know, anything that we don't wear for, like, a year, that we haven't worn in the past year, we're going to donate, which actually ends up being a lot of clothes. you don't realize that. At least I continue to wear certain things because they're accessible, but it's, you know, that's something that we have committed to doing. And so, yeah, so I was just reading this passage, just thinking about that. So I think it's important that we, you know, we continue to reflect on these scriptures and kind of see, like, okay, not only with my own character, what do I need to repent of, but also the practical things, right? Even though we're in this time of isolation, how can I still serve others? And you know, maybe it might just be, you know, having to go through an intermediary like the donation bins in the town or the village, or, you know, maybe it's a GoFundMe for somebody, or it's a, you know, through somebody else who's going to then give money to, and that's going to provide food for a certain group of people. Since we can't personally go there ourselves, you know, during this time, there are still many ways in which we can still apply the scriptures. Just might be a different way maybe to go about it, given the state's mandates and guidelines currently. But continuing on to the last group that he specifically mentions, here in verse 14, it's talking about the soldiers of the time. And, you know, those that were repentant that wanted to change, they asked, like, what should we do? I personally don't know whether these were Jewish soldiers or Roman soldiers, but, you know, they replied, you know, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. And, you know, it's a very real thing, but, you know, they would go, okay, I'm gonna accuse you of this, even though you didn't do it. But if you give me this amount of money, I won't say those things, or I won't, you know, put those charges on you, or I won't arrest you. And it, you know, that doing these things was definitely a form of greed. And you know, that's whatever other things were there in their hearts, you know, these were practices that weren't in line with God and weren't in line with the scripture. But they still do happen today. I'm sure it happens to some extent in our country, but when I read this, I remembered a specific story, Moses told me happened to him in another country, where you had the police or a single policeman came to him at night and said, hand over your identification, your passport, your visas, you know, or else, you know, pay me a certain amount of money. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. But I want you to come back in the morning. Because the specific police guard had come at night, in the late night. And so he came back in the next day, but also his supervisor was there. And he and the guy ended up trying to apologize and, you know, and asking him not to report him for the dishonesty that he had done, what he had tried to do the day before. Whatever his motivations were, whether it was he wanted more money or he thought he could get away with it, or even just, he was trying to use his authority to get more money. These things that are written in here still do happen. We just might not know of them, but, it does come to a point where, in the soldier's example and this authority figure, it's, are we content with what we have? Right. I mean, in this situation, it's their pay, but, are we content with what we have and the means that it's providing, the needs that it's providing for us? In reference to what was just said in 11 and 12, right? Clearly people weren't content with what they had because they had more than they needed. They had, the tax collectors were extorting the people and charging more so they could have more money for themselves. They weren't content with what they were collecting at first. But all this to kind of tie it back to the cross. And, we look at the life of Jesus and look at how he lived his life. He had what he needed. He didn't, even though he was Son of God, he didn't lord it over anybody, but he served the people and he lived within his means. Certainly he had people following him that provided for his needs, but he didn't demand anybody give more than what they were willing to give. Certainly if somebody's heart was hard and they didn't want to give because of that, he challenged them, but, his needs were provided for all the way through, whether it was through other people or the Holy Spirit acting and the angels helping him. So this morning, I just want to encourage you as followers of Christ to examine your hearts and the things that you have, and just see, like, even though during this time of isolation, how can we still help those around us? How can we still give out of our means that God has provided for us? And whether it's like I said, through a local donation bin or maybe through intermediary for funds, there are ways that we can help others and still spread the good news of the gospel through our actions. So with that, we can pray for the bread and the juice. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for just giving us all that we have, God. I thank you for the abundance that you've given us, God. I pray that you would help us to pray about how we can best use it for other, not only for our families, but also for those around us, God, how we can use those things to spread your word. Thank you for the means in which you provided for us to help others, God. I pray that we'd be looking for the opportunities in which to share your good news, but also share the things that you've blessed us with, God, because it's all yours. And I thank you for the life that Jesus lived and the example that he set for us, how his needs were provided for, but he just kept his mind on the mission that you had set before him. And I thank you for just all the ways in which it's clearly shown that you provided for him, God, throughout all the different trials that he went through in his life. You are always there. You always had somebody there to provide for him and for his disciples. And I see that even today. We know that the world doesn't necessarily change its tactics and how it operates, God. Those that wish to harm others and are selfish, God. Clearly we can see it hasn't really changed all that much in the past 2,000 years, God. I pray that you'd help us to live within our means and to also to see how we can serve those around us, God, the best way possible. Especially during this time of isolation, we may have to think outside the box. Pray that you'd help us to do so and help us to see, even during these trying times, how we can still live out the truth of your word. Pray all this in your son's name. Amen.